Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good.
It's nice to talk to you. I know you had a chat with Anika and Zoe last week, but this is our first quarter of the year, so it's very good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice back on the radio again. I'm sure all the fans are happy.
We're talking about Chilean pop music this morning, Kirsten. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, you know, it was on one of those lists of, you know, trends in 2021, you know, that have been, you know, looked at to sort of see, you know, what to talk about.
Oh, yeah,
I can't find where I originally found it, and so I've been calling it Chilean folk pop. I'm thinking is maybe it's Chilean indie. But anyway, it's a thing, and there's amazing stuff coming out of Chile that's kind of shifting Latin American music trends. Mm. Chile. So as you know, you guys probably all know, Latin America is like a huge musical
There's
area.
A lot going on. Yeah, it's not one thing.
And so Chilean pop, this kind of branch of it is really doing something different. A lot of people, you know, one article says it's the most swoon-inducing musical chapter in Latin American history.
Ooh, I think we should hit the first song on that note.
Okay.
Nice. What is this?
Well, this beat that you're feeling, hearing, and the style with the guitar is called cumbia.
Loca, loca, te volviste loca y disparaste frente a mí.
I think it's impossible not to move a little bit when you're listening to this.
Yeah, so it's got that cumbia swing, you know, that you want to, like, yeah, like you said, move your hips. And so this band, they do a lot of like street performance and globally, like they're super popular in Germany.
True.
They do a lot of stuff for like pro-indigenous rights. So Chile had a real shit time. Oh, can I say that on the radio?
You can.
Had a terrible time in the 70s and 80s, an awful, awful dictator that was propped up by the United States, but that's another story. So everything in Chile culturally has been in the shadow of that dictatorship,
right.
You know, so there was a protest undercurrent all through those decades. Well, actually before, a protest undercurrent in the 60s where they set up their communist more style government, and then protests underneath when the, you know, the backlash with this terrible dictator. And so, yeah, all the artists, there's like a strong protest element to what Chile does and this kind of recovery. And I guess, like I said before, kind of inserting themselves into Latin American trends, you know, loving Latin American music in general, but being Chilean.
Necesito esa cara de vulgaridad en mi cama, la que me dice qué hacer, la que pregunta por qué, cómo, cuándo, no sé dónde.
This is a big band. I just did a little head count. I think there's like 10 or 11 of them in it.
Yeah.
It's not a... Can't play a small venue, you know.
Well, that's that cumbia sound.
Yeah.
You know, so cumbia is like a dance music, like an old, you know, that, you know, been going, you know, for a long time. I don't know, any of you watched Encanto over the summer?
I haven't, but I really want to. Everyone, all my adult friends have been like, it's made me cry.
Aww.
Yeah, because the cumbia beats are originally from Colombia, you know, and so, yeah,
right,
that style beat is in Encanto, too.
So I'm kind of interested in what you're saying about it. It's got an element of protest and sort of, pride in indigeneity. So there's a sense of reclamation through this music, is that right?
Yeah, I don't know if everything they're doing is fully legit with indigenous folks, like if it's completely aligned with indigenous, you know, movements, but there definitely is an acknowledgement of that that's an important issue. If you are a young person looking at lots of different issues, you have to start supporting indigenous rights and indigenous, you know, needs.
That was great. I really enjoyed that. This is quite good Friday music because it is easing us into the weekend headspace, I think.
So this is Diego Lorenzini.
Ooh.
And he does weird stuff. He calls it odd songs made by ordinary people.
Cool. I like that. What's that instrument that's making that noise?
I don't know. I think he's playing with something through something electronic, perhaps. Now, he started a record label that's only for recording non-musicians making music.
That is cool. I like that.
Yeah. No,
sorry, do you know how to play that instrument? You can't come in here, actually.
Yeah. Get out.
So his rule is people who don't make music for a living. So I don't know. He's
okay, I see.
He's just an interesting character that's trying to do interesting things.
This is real cool.
Yeah, this is really cool. It does sound like, I'm still trying to work out what that noise is. It sounds like, you know, water dripping into a like glass jar or something.
Now, you know, the mainstream music in Chile in the charts is a whole lot of reggaeton.
Right.
You know, that sort of Latin American pop. They like, you know, they have trap and hip hop, they have metal. So this, you know, this movement isn't in the mainstream, but it's considered something, you know, really cool that Chile is doing.
Right.
One article said that there's been an artistic renaissance in the 2010s by artsy countercultural kids.
Yeah.
That sounds like BFM, artsy countercultural.
It does. That's our whole remit.
That's right.
So this is all very recent music, last few years kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So if you turn on a major radio station in Chile, this is not necessarily what you're going to hear. But
if you turn on
a Chilean BFM, this might be what you hear.
That's right. This is what Chilean Pitchfork will talk about.
Okay.
But some people have said it's an influential Latin American wave in that, you know, other people are feeling it and hearing
it.
And it might have a larger shift. Another article said, a fledgling creative ecosystem now projected onto the global stage. So I guess it's like the next big thing people are predicting in Latin American music.
The woman on this track is called Niña Tormenta. Which I'm assuming kind of means what you think it means, but maybe
Tormented
I'm wrong.
Child?
Maybe, yeah. That was cool. That was El Demonio de Mediodía.
Good for you.
This is quite different. They've all been very different. So I see you're saying it's less of a genre in the sense that it's, you know, it's folk or it's indie or it's whatever, but it's kind of a similar world, alternative world.
Yeah, because it's just not those other genres, I guess, is main cohesion that they have. So this lady, Ana Tijo, she's been like a rapper since, you know, all through the 90s.
Oh, cool.
And is now doing stuff more solo, and she's had a track in the Breaking Bad soundtrack.
Ah.
She's had shout outs by Tom York. She's considered the Chilean Lauryn Hill.
Cool.
And she does a lot of stuff about social issues, a whole album about gender violence. She's had some Latin Grammy nominations. So she's kind of like an OG, hip-hop OG in Chile.
Sick.
She doesn't even look that old to me.
So of the three artists you've played us, she's the biggest, I guess you could say. Like, she's got the largest following or the most knowledge around her music.
Yeah, and definitely, you know, have that longevity and, you know, different phases, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's definitely had that sort of global elite impact, you know, like with American television and that sort of thing. Apparently there was a big breakdancing scene in Chile. Really huge.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Was she involved in that or like...
Yeah. I know, it seems like New Zealand should do a lot more with Chile, but
yeah, we got some musical similarities.
We look like neighbors, but actually when you figure out the mileage, they might as well be on Mars.
Oh, so I'm just reading about her. She was born in France, and she was the daughter of two Chilean exiles who left during the Pinochet regime.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. It's this specter and everything,
Yeah.
you know?
I mean, it would be hard not to be political with your art if that was your background.
That's right. Now, not that we're all understanding the full Spanish going on here, but some of the descriptions of this music says it's got eerily relatable storytelling, because that's probably the aspect of it we're missing out on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And evocative fusion.
Ooh, okay.
All those music writers, you know, they just like go to town with the thesaurus and the adjectives.
I'm looking for something with a bit of evocative fusion.
That's right.
Thesaurus.com.
Yeah, some eerily relatable storytelling. Oh, here's another one. The music captures the shifting cultural and political tides.
Ooh, nice.
The tides.
This is called Shock, if anyone wants to look it up, by Ana Tihu.
Yeah, and she seems cool, right?
She seems really cool. She seems very cool.
Such an interesting character.
She's very staunch in all of her pictures. You would not want to mess nice. With her, I would say.
Yeah, because you listen to your rap and you're like, oh, that's nice, a nice young girl rapping. And then you read her and you're like, oh, no, this is an OG.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing us a bit of Chilean sort of alternative pop this morning. I've enjoyed this a lot, Kirsten. Where are we going to go next week?
Oh, gosh, we're getting really weird. It's called Dream SMP.
SMP. Okay, looking forward to it. We'll see you then.
Yeah, stick with me, guys. I'm taking you on a journey. Okay.
I'm keen. I'm ready.
Ka kite.
Okay, bye.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Thank you very much.